are so glad that you are listening to the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our prayer that this helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus and encourages you to show and share the love of Jesus everywhere you go. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's dive into the message.
We are trying to land the series today, talking about how God's not done with us yet. And if you've never heard that before, let me be the first to tell you, God's not done with you. No matter how awesome things that you've done, you've accomplished, he's not done. And if it's a horrible, bad, ugly day and you're just like, okay, and you drug yourself here, I've got good news for you. He's not done yet. And that's true for all of us. I have good days and bad days. And our oldest is 22, 23 years old. Ever since our kids were little, we have this thing that we'll do occasionally in our house. We will just pop on America's Funniest Home Videos. Love watching that show. It's been around forever. I love watching it in part because usually it's somebody else making a mistake and it's not me, and I can laugh at it, right? And feel completely guilt-free about doing that. And my kids will tell you, there's times when I've just got tears rolling down my eyes and I'm rolling on the floor, coughing and laughing at some trampoline videos are my favorite. Trampolines and pinatas. Those never go well, ever. A pinata above a trampoline, I put me in the hospital. Like, those things are just so funny to me. But sometimes they'll play one of those clips and you think you know how it's going to go, and then it turns out completely different. You're like, whoa, didn't see that coming. Right? So let me give you an example. I'm going to show you a picture. Go ahead and put that picture up there, right? You think you know exactly how this is going to go, right? You, like, in your brain, you're going, no, this is not going to end well. This is about ready to fall apart, right? And you're thinking, okay, the guy's going to fall short. He's not going to land in the pool. He's going to land on the deck right beside the pool and everybody's going to laugh. Or the firework is going to blow up right as he's getting ready to go off there. The wheel's going to fall off the little girl's bike right as he goes off, right? It's falling apart. But here's what's interesting. The guy in this picture, if you look at it from his perspective, show the next photo. If you look at it from his perspective, he thinks right now everything is falling into place. Look at everybody, how happy they are in the pool. They're like, yeah, this is so much fun. Like, he is like King Dudu right here. He's like, this is amazing. Like, I got this. This is going to be incredible. Sometimes it depends on your perspective. Yes, I generated that with AI. Don't count their fingers. There may be more than too many fingers. But here's the thing. Sometimes make it go away because they're all distracted. All right. Sometimes our perspective determines how we feel about a situation. And it's possible that our perspective is wrong. Because if you're having a really bad day, a really bad season, you're looking at that season and that time and that space, and you're going, man, everything is completely falling apart. And it's possible from God's perspective, he's looking at your situation, he's looking at your stuff, and he's going, finally, I got you where I need you. And everything is falling into place. That's what we're going to look at this week. We're going to look at this classic story from Scripture, which, if I didn't teach on it this week, something's wrong with me. Because it's the Scripture that we look at every year at this time. It's the story of Palm Sunday. It's the beginning of Holy Week. As we roll into, it's kind of a prequel to Easter. As we roll into Easter, Jesus is rolling into Holy Week. I'm irresponsible if we don't look at this. And it is a classic story of falling into place or falling apart or both. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me if you want, or look it up on your phone, or just watch the screens. Luke chapter 19 is where we're going to be. We're joining other churches and Christians around the world in this Holy Week exploration, in this kickoff. Luke chapter 19 is the story of, you'll see in your Bible, the heading on this section that people gave afterwards. Like, they didn't write these things with headings, but printers and publishers have given this subheading, the triumphal entry, Jesus rolling into town. That's the story that we're telling this morning. That's the story that we're looking at this morning. Luke 19, verse 28 starts here. It says, after Jesus had said this, and I'll tell you, Jesus had kind of, he's wrapping up kind of his public ministry because he knows what's about ready to happen this week. And he had just told a story to a bunch of folks. It's not important for what we're looking at this morning, so I'm not going to go into it. But after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. I love when we get geography in the text too, because this is in here. It's important for a reason. It's in there for a reason because it's important. This was foretold that Jesus on this particular day, this particular season, this particular year, at this particular time would be at a very particular place in order to fulfill the prophecy of him being the Messiah. So when you look at those words and you go, okay, I don't know this geography. Great, you don't know it. All we need to know is that he was fulfilling a prophecy from thousands of years before. On this day, this time, this specific location. He looks at two of his disciples, looks at his two buddies, and he says to them, go to the village ahead of you. And as you go into that village, as you enter it, you're going to find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you taking it? Use a Jedi mind trick and say, the Lord needs it. Okay, for my Star Wars fans, not really a Jedi mind trick, but here's what Jesus is saying. Go steal me a donkey. And if anybody asks, tell them it's for me. Now, if you weren't here last week, we talked about the story and Peter's out fishing with Jesus. And Jesus goes, hey, throw down your nets and we're going to catch a bunch of fish. And Peter's like, I don't know. We didn't catch anything all night. But if you're telling me to do it, I'm in. I'll do it. This is another one of those instances. Jesus says, I need you to go find me a donkey and bring it to me. And these guys, without hesitation, are like, I've always wanted to steal a donkey. Like, let's go, right? And they go and they bring Jesus the donkey, or do they, right? So those who were sent ahead went and found the donkey, just as Jesus had said, which I think is interesting. He's like, you're going to go find a donkey tied up there. And they're like, I don't know. You think it's going to be there? I don't know. Sure enough, there's the donkey, because Jesus knew that. And it was just as they told him. And as they were untying the colt, its owner of the donkey asked them, why are you untying the colt? They replied, the Lord needs it. I would love to teach this, just this passage right here. This is so rich. Like, that moment, what must that have been like? Like, we're about ready to go to jail. This is like Grand Theft Donkey. Like, this is like, we are like, we're done for right here. What's about ready to happen? And they answer, the Lord needs it. And the guy apparently was like, okay, that's fine. Take my donkey. Because, verse 35, they brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and then they put Jesus on it. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. And when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen. And then we just sang the song this morning. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. This is Palm Sunday. If you grew up in a church or went to church with a friend when you were a kid, this is the Sunday they would hand you the palm branches. I don't know where they get those, if they ship those in. Like, we don't grow palm trees around here, but this is a Sunday they give those, and the kids smack each other with them and hit them each other with them in Sunday school, right? And they leave them on the floor of your van and they rot there the week for the whole week. Like, this is that Sunday of Palm Sunday. And what happens is, as Jesus is rolling into town on this colt, this donkey, people are recognizing they had been looking for the Messiah, and there were enough symbols, there were enough cues for them that they're like, this is him. And so the text says that they were starting to throw their cloaks down. Like, we don't have a red carpet in that moment. So somebody's like, hey, give me your jacket. And so they all start throwing their cloaks down, right? Like, they want the king to enter in. And so they're telling him, like, you're welcome here. And so they're paving the path. And then they throw these palm branches down. This is the way that they welcomed a king into town, because for them, this was their parade for the king. They were ushering the king, the conqueror, into town. Yet, here's what's interesting. The prophecy that was foretold about Jesus coming into town, Zechariah 9:9, says this, "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious." Yeah, the king is coming in town, righteous and victorious. Pump the brakes. Lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Why did Jesus tell those guys to go get him a donkey? Well, number one, the prophecy needed to be fulfilled. If he doesn't ride into town on a donkey, he rides in on a scooter or something different, the prophecy isn't fulfilled. They go find the donkey, they bring it back. Jesus is riding into town, fulfilling the prophecy from hundreds of years before that. So these people had a reason to celebrate. Like, yeah, here comes the king, here comes the king. But a lot of them would have known this prophecy, and I wonder if it stood out to anybody in that moment. Is anybody curious why there's a donkey? Anybody curious about this? Because when a king rode into town, the conquering king who was going to be victorious and start the battle and kick the Romans out of town, that king would have ridden into town on a horse. Kings who are conquering kings don't ride into town on donkeys. The kings who ride into town on donkeys, we see this in the Old Testament. Solomon rode into town on a donkey because there had been so much war and his dad had done so many bad things as a king. Solomon rides into town on a donkey bringing peace. And so the crowd in the parade was confused. They're cheering for the wrong thing. They think Jesus is coming to like beat everybody up and kick the Romans out of town. And Jesus comes into town bringing peace. You see, here's the thing. They were experiencing what we have probably all experienced at some point or another. And I'll call it, for the purposes of today, I'll call it crown confusion. I'll call it crown confusion. See, they were picturing Jesus with the gold crown as the king who was going to throw the Romans out of town and then sit on the seat of government and be that king and make everything right. But the crown that Jesus wore, we now have the advantage of knowing that the crown that he wore later was a crown of thorns. It was a symbol of punishment. It was a symbol of him giving himself up for us, bleeding for us. See, the funny thing about watching AFV is I have a remote in my hand and I can rewind and fast forward and I can see how things are going to play out, right? In real time, in our situations, we don't have that advantage. We don't know if it's an epic fail or if it's a setup. We just know it's real and it hurts. The disciples and the people in the crowd, they didn't know in this moment. They didn't have what we have. They didn't have fast forward. They couldn't move forward and read the text. We can. We know what happens. We know how this ends. But in that moment, they're confused. They think it's good. And Jesus is, well, let's look at what Jesus was thinking. The text goes on. Verse 19. It says, some of the Pharisees in the crowd, they said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Tell them to stop yelling. Tell them to stop screaming." Now, there's two schools of thought on this. One is the Pharisees were saying, Jesus, you need to control your disciples because the Romans are going to hear them screaming and yelling. The Romans, it's going to get everybody's attention and we're all going to get in trouble. And us Pharisees have worked really, really hard to keep order and the rules and they're going to come after us. And so it was a very selfish request. They were saying, Jesus, we've kind of got this. We've written the story. We've written the script. We know how this goes. Jesus, why don't you tell your people to back it down? We're in charge. Anybody ever do that to God? Don't raise your hand. I've done that. I tell God how things are going to go. All right, so here's my plan. Here's how we're going to do this. It's kind of what the Pharisees were doing. They're telling Jesus, Jesus, tell your people to like knock it off. The other school of thought is this. They were telling Jesus, your people are misguided and misplaced. Jesus, we're in charge. We've got this. regardless of which one it is, they were being selfish and they were trying to write the story. And Jesus makes it super clear. He says this. He said, when they say, rebuke your disciples, and he says, I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Which sounds like a weird statement. Like, if they keep quiet, the rocks are going to talk. What he's saying is that you can't stop this. You're not in charge. You can't stop what God is doing. Jesus tells that to the Pharisees, and I would just submit this for all of us. I think that's a good word for us today. We can't stop what God is doing. I don't know what you've done. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you've caused, but you can't, no matter how bad it is, no matter how bad the things that you've done, you can't stop what God wants to do in you. You can't stop the good that he wants to do. You can try, but you're not going to screw up his plan. He's going to have his way. And no matter how good you've been, no matter how successful you've been, no matter how much you've accomplished, you can't stop what God's going to do. You're not going to beat him. He's going to win. He's going to have his way. And so good or bad, he will have his way in us. He is an incredible story writer. No matter how good of an author you think you are, no matter how talented you are, no matter how amazing you are, or no matter how screwed up you are, God is the author. He writes the story. And he's reminding these guys of that. He says, look, you can't control this. You may prefer control, but God's going to disrupt all of this. So much so, and Jesus knew that, because we see in verse 41, as Jesus is approaching Jerusalem, now he's on this donkey, he's kind of cresting the hill, he saw the city, and we learn here, it says, he began to weep over the city. He's looking at these people, and I'll just say it like this, I think he's looking down at us, he's looking at the city, and he begins to weep. And he's seeing not the city, like the skyline, he sees the people. Because look at the language that Jesus uses. Look at what he specifically points out. He wept over the city and he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it's hidden from your eyes. The day will come, and here's what Jesus is doing. Jesus is looking way far out. He's looking beyond the moment. He's in the parade crying. Now picture this, like he's in the parade that they're throwing for him. And he's crying, like who cries at a parade that people are throwing for you? Because he sees something completely different. He's looking ahead towards the destruction of Jerusalem. He's looking ahead past that. He's looking at the pain that people will go through, the pain that we will go through. He's looking way beyond the moment. And he says, and he talks about the destruction of Jerusalem. It's hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. It's interesting to me that Jesus was looking ahead to a very specific event that would take place in Jerusalem. But I'm going to read this again. What if this is for you and for me? What if this is personal? The day will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and your children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you didn't recognize the time of God's coming to you. He's describing for Jerusalem there one of their darkest moments, their bottom. Like this is the bottom, like this is it. This is the bottom. Like before you can get up, this is the bottom. See, we all have those moments. Maybe you can look back in your own life right now and you're going, yep, June, 4 years ago, I can tell you this was it. This was maybe it was 10 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago. I don't know anybody's bottom. That's weird to say it like that. Like, I don't know what the bottom was for you, where it was, when it was, but we all can look back and go, yeah, I think that was it. And that was it. And Jesus is looking and saying, there is a time coming for all of us where it's going to look like everything is falling apart. We know from John's writing, John said this, the disciples, they're just in the parade cheering. They're like, yay, I'm with him. I'm with Jesus. Like, hey, confetti, parade, party. Woohoo, I'm with Jesus. He's going to be the king. And they didn't get it. They didn't get it. John writes this. At first, his disciples didn't understand what they were even seeing. And it was only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that the things that had been written about him and the things that had been done to him had to happen. You see, they're in the middle of the parade and they're missing it because days later, what they thought was everything falling into place, the disciples start to scurry because Jesus is brought before Pilate. He's convicted, he's taken away, he's beaten, and he's killed. And they go from the parade where everything is falling into place to now they're running and hiding because in their minds, everything is falling apart. We can go from the top to the bottom like that. And is it possible even if the disciples missed it? These are the guys, they were like in the room where it happened with Jesus. Like they knew, like they were there, they saw it, they witnessed it, and they got it wrong. So if these people had front row seats and they missed it, is it possible that we miss it? Is it possible that we don't have his perspective? Is it possible that we're actually celebrating something that God is grieving? Think about this. Jesus is grieving in the middle of the parade and the disciples are like, this is awesome. And Jesus is saying, no. Like you're missing it. Do you know what's about ready to happen? They're like, I don't know, but like these chicken wings are really good. Like the people gave us in the parade and like, this is awesome. And he was like, you're missing it. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss what it is that God is doing because I'm so focused on the plan that I want him to do. It's also possible that on those darkest days, those ugliest days, that we're missing it. We think this is it. This is the worst thing. And God is saying, oh, just you wait. This is going to be amazing. Because spoiler, I don't know if you've been in church or read the Bible, but Easter comes after Good Friday, which is crazy to me that we call it Good Friday. It's still confusing. Like it's really bad. Jesus dies on Friday. That's what happens. So why do we call it Good Friday? But it is Good Friday. I get it. Good Friday. It had to be bad so it could be good. But either way, I'm not preaching that sermon. Come back on Sunday where we talk about Easter. But it got really bad over the next couple of days. Really, really bad. To the point that Jesus surrendered his life. And everybody's freaking out. They thought it was the bottom. Even the enemy, even Satan. Satan's like, yeah, everything is falling into place. The enemy thought they had won. Everything is falling into place because look at it, it's all falling apart. And God just sits back. It's Friday and he's like, oh yeah, it's falling into place, all right. You have no idea. So if the disciples missed it, is it possible that we miss it too? This verse has been huge in my life and the life of our family. Isaiah 55 says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." That was written hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before this moment took place. And as everybody's surveying the landscape and like, it's awful, Jesus died and you know, what's gonna happen now? What's happening? God's ways are higher than his, than our ways. He can see what we cannot see. And so I want to just speak, I'm going to attempt to speak a word of truth and encouragement to everyone here, all of us, with this. His ways are higher than our ways, and he can see what we cannot see. So I don't know what you see in front of you this week. I don't know how big the obstacle is. I don't know how big the hurt and the pain is. I don't know how big that is in front of you. But I want to encourage you with this. His ways are higher than our ways. And he can see around it, over it. He can get you through it. He can get you to the other side of it. He has a plan, and he's not done yet. He's not done yet. There is hope. I feel like I'm cheating because I'm giving you next weekend, like I'm giving you Easter Sunday vibes on Palm Sunday. But like when our kids were little and we would read like the children's storybook, they always wanted, you know, like five stories. So they were delaying bedtime. And we were like, no, one story, you know, not too much Jesus in one night, apparently, right? So it's like, no, one story. But if ever we read this story on Holy Week, I'm like, hey, bonus track, you're getting two because I'm not putting you to bed without giving you the ending. This ends well. And so just know, whatever you're facing, he's enough. And the story's not over. There is more. Is it falling into place? Or is it falling apart? It feels like it's falling apart. It can feel like it's falling apart. I'll give you that. I will meet you in that space. Because I've been there. And judging from a few of you in the room, they're going, there's a bunch of us that have been there. It feels like it's falling apart. But that's where God does some of his best work. Right before we feel like it's falling apart, he steps in, puts everything in order, puts it back in its place. I don't have a magic wand or a crystal ball to know when that happens. Like, don't meet me up here and go, great, here's what happened. So you tell me on Sunday, I'm good. There's a lot of things, you know, in that. I don't know how he does it. But we have to see from his perspective. Here's the challenge today. For us to bring wherever we're at, all that we are, to him. And say, God, I'm either up and to the right or I'm about as low as I've been. And allow him to write the story. Because it's his story that he wants to tell through us. And he's a really, really, really good story writer. I'm pretty bad at it. But he's really, really good. I'm going to challenge you with this. As these guys lead us and as we sing these last two songs, I'm going to challenge you to just think about this. Where are you at? Are you at the bottom? Do you remember what the bottom was like and you're not there anymore? Awesome. I'll celebrate with you. But if you're at the bottom, you need to know this. He's not done yet. There's more. I want you to let these words that we sing, I want you to let them just kind of wash over you. And as you sing them, sometimes you'll sing them through tears. Sometimes you'll just sing them and you're mouthing the words and you're like, and you're just thinking and letting the Holy Spirit speak to you. I'm going to let you just have that moment and let you sit in that and let God do a work on you. But my encouragement to you is this. He is not done yet. He's not done yet. He's not done yet. Not done yet. And if you're like, I don't even know what to do with all this. Great. Then I got a bonus track for you. Maybe you're in a good spot and a good place. So that you can tell that story to the people around you where you live, learn, work, and play. So you can share that with other people because I'm not the only person that they need to hear that from. They need to hear it from you because they work with you. They hang out with you. So invite them to be here next week as we finish the story, as they hear that. All right, I'm done. Let me pray for us. Lord, I love you. God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Use these, just these closing moments, Lord, to speak to us. I pray that anything that I said, it was goofy or didn't work, that it would fall away. And your word, your truth, Lord, your spirit would impress upon us what you want us to hear and see and do and be. Lord, I thank you for this truth that we do get to experience and how, Lord, it's timeless. And I pray that we would receive now from your Holy Spirit encouragement that you want for us. Use this time. Use this space. God, I'll just say this. Thank you. Thank you that you're not, thank you for not being done with me, with us, with this church, with our lives, with this community. Lord, speak to us in this time now.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's message. We would love to personally invite you to one of our Sunday services at 9 or 10:45 a.m. in the Performing Arts Center at Warsaw Community High School at 1 Tiger Lane in Warsaw, Indiana. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to subscribe and connect with us on social media by following Mission Point CC. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Mission Point. Simply visit missionpoint.net/give and give a gift today. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great week.